It's Dusty and Mike with some exciting Gays shop updates.
Old prints are making a comeback as we're looking to clear out stock to make room for new items, including posters from season 8 and 9.
For the remainder of the summer through Labor Day 2026, all individual prints will be $8 and all collections will be $20. That's right. It's basically a half off sale on all of our older prints.
And when the summer is over, our older prints will only be available as collection, not as individual prints. So act now and bring some of the national parks home with you.
Head to shop.gazeatthenationalparks.com or visit the link on our website.
These low, low prices won't stick around forever.
Hello and welcome to Gays at the National Parks, the podcast. I am Dusty.
And I'm Mike, and welcome to our Season 8 Summit.
If you are joining us for the first time, our summit episodes, which appear at the end of every season, are like our season wrap party. It's our chance to encompass all of the parks we visited this past season and view them through four different lenses that investigate these parks a little deeper by examining the visitor experience, the history, the environment and wildlife, and on a much grander scale, the hiking and experiences within the parks.
Each season, we have also worked to tweak the format of our summit episodes just a bit, allowing for a fresh look at the parks we covered all season long, while also touching base on important issues on the slate that need to be examined.
In this summit episode, we're looking at important moments in history from each of the parks we visited this season, so it's sort of like an historical episode of Wishbone.
Oh, Wishbone.
Yeah.
What's the story, Wishbone?
You liked the show.
Well, because I also then had Jack Russell Terriers.
You did. You have a Jack Russell Terrier still.
I mean, my parents do. She is going to be 18.
I'm not going to lie. I don't know that I've ever met a dog that old. Like, she is like an ancient warrior.
She's
you know
happy.
What I mean? She's happy. She's got a great life.
She, you know, sleeps most of the day. But
and I do have to say,
I know we won't have her for much longer.
She does make me feel very special because I know that she's not like the warmest dog to everybody because, and I say that not from experience, but because that's what your parents have communicated
in
to
her
me.
Older age. She's become a little crotchety,
of course,
but then she reversed course and now she's like, just touch me wherever.
Well,
I don't care.
She is, I mean, she's so sweet and cuddly,
yeah.
And she's like, she's let me pick her up.
Yep.
Like I cuddle with her. Like, and your parents are always shocked that like we have this relationship, but mm-hmm. she has that relationship with you as
oh,
well.
Yeah.
Like, she adores you.
It's because you have my scent.
Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why. I've been at your house. I do smell like your house. I smell like you. Exactly.
You're so, cloaked in my scent.
But let's go back to Wishbone.
Yeah, we should.
I did love this show because, first of all, it's a cute dog. Like,
I know.
And I really loved when he would do Shakespeare plays.
Mm-hmm.
Those were
I don't
my
know
favorite.
Why.
And also the classic literature,
sure,
of
yeah.
course. But they also did historical events.
Yeah.
So they would go through different historical events.
They would.
It was always really fun.
It was great. It
yeah.
was always like, God, thank you, 90s television producers, for like just ensuring that we learn through trickery.
Exactly. And also, like, Wishbone's mouth never moved when he was
no,
talking.
No, there just was someone narrating him.
Right. But he spoke like he had dialogue.
Yeah.
You know
oh,
what
yeah.
I mean? Like, we forgive all of that because this is real. That
yeah.
was a real dog.
Yeah.
Wishbone was a real animal, or probably like a couple of animals,
sure.
or whatever, but that wasn't artificially created on a computer.
No.
You know, and a puppet would also be incredible,
sure.
because puppets are real too. You know, I mean, they're brought to life by
sure.
real people, but they're made from
they're
real
imbued
materials.
With life.
Huh?
They're imbued with life.
Yeah, endowed with life.
Okay, endowed.
And also imbued.
Yeah.
But yes. But that was real. And
yeah.
I think that's why it was special.
Yeah, it was.
Speaking of history, we're going to get into some historic events in the national park spaces we visited this year. But first, we'd like to acknowledge the land we explored this season.
We would like to acknowledge that while visiting and hiking the land, also known as White Sands National Park, that we were on the traditional and stolen land of the Lipan Apache, Mescalero Apache, and Tampocho people.
We would also like to acknowledge that while visiting and hiking the land, also known as Pinnacles National Park, we were on the traditional and stolen land of the Papalauchem, Shalone, and Ohlone people.
We would like to acknowledge that while visiting the land also known as Saguaro National Park, that we are on the traditional and stolen land of the Tone Odum, Odum-Jewad, and the Hohokam people.
And finally, we would like to acknowledge that while visiting and hiking the land also known as Death Valley National Park, we were on the traditional and stolen land of the Kowaisu and Western Shoshone people.
While the national parks are considered America's storyteller and also called America's best idea, it is not possible to talk about or understand the breadth of the national parks and all national park spaces without acknowledging and understanding that, just like almost all areas of the United States, the national parks are stolen lands. There are virtually no exceptions to the phrase, all of the national parks are stolen land, meaning that at one point in time, they were inhabited by indigenous people until they were colonized, settled, and preserved by mostly white settlers.
This is true even for spaces like St. John in the U.S. Virgin Islands, to Acadia in Maine, to the remote areas of Alaska's parks, to even Dry Tortugas National Park off of Key West. During 2020, when the United States experienced the national reckoning around protecting Black lives, the acknowledgement and reality of the truth about national park spaces also came to light. And while sometimes this history is described as complicated and complex, this is a history that is well documented and clear. The history of America is the story of indigenous people being moved off of or out of their land by way of violence and to make room for white settlers. That is the history of the United States.
Therefore, as we go through the history of each of these national parks, the narratives are similar. Indigenous people inhabited these spaces for hundreds, sometimes thousands of years. White European settlers moved west, used force and violence to move indigenous people off their land, and then later decided it might be a good idea to preserve that land.
Okay, so let's talk about the history in national park spaces here for a minute. This current, you know, chaotic fire of an administration in the federal government decided a little while ago that what they were going to do is create kind of like an online hotline where you could respond if you saw something that like a story or a piece of interpretive information or a piece of education in a national park that you felt was not painting America in a good light and that you could report that.
Yep.
We talked about it when they announced it. And just last week, all of the data came back from that. And what did they find, Mike?
That it was mostly garbage.
Well, not that it was mostly garbage, but that the majority of the responses they got was like a quarter of the responses were just entirely about challenging why this was even why this hotline even existed. Others were just basically like talking about how terrible the administration is and how they're running things and advocating for national park spaces. There was another percentage that was advocating for more funding to go to the national parks. And then there was a tiny little less than 1% sliver of people who actually reported things. So the thing that was designed did not succeed.
No,
because...
Because resistance.
One, resistance. And two, we deserve the truth. We deserve... One, we deserve truthful information. And also, you can't whitewash history just to, I mean, that's also what America is. We've talked about this for a long time, that history is written by the victors.
Right.
And therefore, that's another problem that we have here in America, is that this has been a thing that's happening over and over again. And now the majority of America, hopefully, does not want that. And we want to at least acknowledge where we are, where we've been, so that we can move forward in a better way.
Yeah.
So for today's summit episode, we're going to break this down into four different categories of Jeopardy-style trivia. And why don't we get started? All right, Mike. So this is how it's going to work. We've got four categories of Jeopardy.
Okay.
Each category will be connected to one of the parks we visited this season.
Great.
So let's review which four parks we went to. We went to...
Death Valley, Pinnacles, White Sands, and Saguaro.
That's right. Three of which are desert parks. Mm-hmm. One is not.
No.
Pinnacles is not. But the others are.
It's kind of semi-arid, though, I would say.
Semi-arid.
Yeah.
But it's mountainous and green. So based on the answers from... each category, you're going to guess which park we're talking about.
Okay.
So there's not necessarily, like the category name would be the park name.
Sure.
And then you'll see later because I'll give you a little more context.
Great.
So are we ready for the first round?
Sure.
For 100. This word is a kangaroo word, which means it contains all of the letters of its own synonym.
Okay.
Like blossom and bloom.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like bloom is found inside of the word blossom and they both mean the same thing.
Sure.
Both words in this case are both nouns and verbs.
Okay.
Meaning that the big word and the kangaroo word can both serve as a noun or a verb.
Okay.
And they mean to alert someone to something or the alert that is sent to someone to communicate something, especially unexpected behavior. The larger word is sometimes used in place of the word blinker when talking about a car.
So what is signal and sign?
That's right.
Okay.
Okay, for 200. If you wanted to come to New York and see the giant whale hanging from the ceiling, you would go to this museum on the Upper West Side.
What is the Museum of Natural History?
Correct.
I've never been there.
You've not?
No.
Oh, well, we should go.
Yeah.
We'll go. For 300, in the original production of the movie Annie, a song often cut in contemporary productions featured an ensemble of unhoused and poor New Yorkers during the Great Depression sarcastically thanking this president.
Who is Herbert Hoover?
Correct. God. For 400. Judy Garland's famous and still best-selling live concert album was recorded at this notable and historic arts venue in New York City.
What is Madison Square Garden?
Ooh, wrong. Incorrect.
What is Radio City Music Hall?
Also incorrect.
What is Studio 54?
No. No. What is Judy at Carnegie Hall?
Oh, Carnegie Hall.
Carnegie Hall. And for 500.
Take my card.
Nelson Mandela was sworn in as president of South Africa and the film Forrest Gump was released in this year.
What's 1996?
Incorrect. What is 1994? Mm. So the answers in this category are Signal, Museum of Natural History, Herbert Hoover, Carnegie Hall, and 1994. Mm. What park are we talking about?
What is Death Valley?
Incorrect. We were looking for what is Saguaro.
Okay.
And I'll tell you a little bit why.
Okay.
Okay, so the first answer was Signal, mm-hmm. right? And the reason I said that is because Saguaro was the ancestral land of the Hohokam people who have roots in this area and also the surrounding areas, and their roots extend for about 1,200 years.
Okay.
And they did leave behind some petroglyphs, which can still be seen today in Saguaro National Park near Signal Hill.
Mm, okay.
And then the second one was about the Museum of Natural History. Mm-hmm. And the reason I had this clue was because in 1920, students and scientists from the Natural History Society of the University of Arizona began advocating for the preservation of this area because of the saguaro cacti. But for years, they feared that the saguaro cacti would actually die out because of cattle trampling and also because of people stealing them.
Yeah, well, people are the worst.
And this continued for a long time. So then I mentioned Herbert Hoover, or I'm sorry, we mentioned Herbert Hoover in the next clue. And that is because in 1933, Herbert Hoover was the president who signed the proclamation to protect this space and designated it Saguaro National Monument.
Mm.
I do just want to take a moment and talk about how the history breaks down here about indigenous people, white European settlers, and then a lot of white men get involved and include their names.
Really?
Which
you
is
don't
the history
say.
Of the United States,
yeah.
everybody. Okay, so the next answer was Carnegie Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And here is the reason I bring this up. So let's talk about the history or like the etymology of the word saguaro.
Mm-hmm.
So the name saguaro is derived from the indigenous Odum language, who are the indigenous people of this area and also the Sonoran Desert. That word comes from their language. But then when the scientists started studying it, everything has to have a scientific name as well. And so the saguaro cactus's scientific name is Carnegiea gigantea.
Mm.
And where do you think we got that name?
Andrew Carnegie.
Unfortunately,
yes. Ton of money.
Because Andrew Carnegie in 1903 created the Desert Botanical Laboratory in Tucson through his Carnegie Institution. And that Carnegie Institution is now called Tumamoc.
Okay.
I think that's how it's pronounced, everybody. I don't know. I'm sorry. So the Tucson folks will let me know if I'm wrong. But that is now run by the College of Science at the University of Arizona.
Mm.
So literally that cacti, that sacred...
Yep. Money.
Literally
must
that.
Be funny.
Yep.
In a rich man's world.
And then
world.
The final clue was 1994. And what do you think that
was
is
the year it was officially a park?
That's right. The year it became a national park.
A big NP?
That's right. Okay. We know that there are so many ways to get outside and explore the national parks. And if you are thinking about finally renting an RV this summer to have an adventure of a lifetime, then look no further than Outdoorsy. Outdoorsy is the most trusted RV rental marketplace in the United States, making it easy for anyone to rent an RV or camper without owning one.
They have thousands of RVs and campers nationwide, available right in your neighborhood, and you can have it delivered and fully set up at your destination. It's so easy. It's only three simple steps to get started on your adventure.
First, search and choose an RV that fits your trip and group size. Then, book with confidence. Insurance, support, and protection are all included. And finally, hit the road or arrive and relax, whether you're driving, towing, or getting it delivered.
As people who love exploring and love getting into the national parks, we don't own an RV or camper, but sometimes we want that. And that's why Outdoorsy is the perfect solution.
Right now, our listeners can have all service fees removed from their booking in 2026 with code GAZE at outdoorsy.com. That's OUTDOORSY.com. And use our code GAZE, GAZE, at checkout to remove service fees. And that is outdoorsy.com. Hey, y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right. It's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season one is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio, and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
Be ready for the next round.
Yes. Look at all the history we learned through that trivia. Well done, my friend.
For 100. In My Big Fat Greek Wedding, Nia Vardalos plays a young, down-and-out central character who takes the time to invest in herself and believe in herself before finding love. And her character's first name is this.
Tula.
That's right.
What is
Good
Tula?
Job. Mm-hmm. Okay. For 200... This is a little bit of a trick question, so we're going to see if you get it. This is a TV show set in an emergency room starring Noah Wiley.
Well, that could be.
So you've got a 50-50 shot here.
What is the pit?
That is correct. We were looking for the pit, but mm-hmm. that clue could also mean...
ER.
ER, correct. Mm-hmm. For 300. Right. This company was founded in 1908 as a leather goods company until the owner bought the patent for an electric suction sweeper.
What is Dyson?
Great guess. Incorrect. We were looking for Hoover, like the Hoover company.
Well, I didn't want to say Hoover again because we already had an answer. That was
Hoover. I know.
Fool.
For 400, This arguably overly dramatic film starring Ben Affleck, Kate Beckinsale, and Josh Hartnett. And the name of this film could also be considered a drag queen.
What is Pearl Harbor?
That is correct. And now it's time for 500. Are you ready?
Sure.
For 500. Harry and Meghan decide to step away from the royal family. Adele releases her album 30, and Squid Game became the number one show on Netflix. Name this year.
What is 2018?
Incorrect. What is 2021? All right. So based on the answers here, which is Tula, The Pit, Hoover, Pearl Harbor, and 2021, what park are we talking about?
White Sands.
That's correct. Why do you think?
Because it's the newest of the national parks.
Okay, great. Uh-huh. All right.
Well, so, no, New River Gorge is the newest.
So the first answer was Tula. And the reason that was a clue or that was an answer is because the Tularosa Basin is the area in White Sands National Park. It sits between the San Andreas Mountains and the Sacramento Mountains. And about 20,000 years ago, before the last ice age, this was full of plant life and animal life, and it was super lush. And they even found evidence of human life here living at the same time as some Ice Age animals, including woolly mammoths.
Cool.
So the second one was The Pit. So the indigenous people of this area are also called the Jornada Mogollon.
Okay.
And they lived in this area around 2,000 years ago. This name, Jornada Mogollon, is a name given by archaeologists because no one really knows what this group of people's name was or how they referred to each other at the time. But they found traces of human activity going back almost 10,000 years ago. And these people lived in what were called pit houses. And they were circular houses dug out of the ground. They also farmed in the area for thousands of years. And they left this area about 600 to 700 years ago when it began to dry up.
Yeah.
So the third one, the Hoover Company. Herbert Hoover also designated White Sands as a national monument in 1933.
Look at that.
Which is also when he designated what other national monument? The one we just talked about.
Oh, Saguaro.
Correct.
Yeah.
So in the same year, he designated Saguaro and White Sands.
He knew we were going to talk about them on this show.
He did, apparently. So the next clue was about Pearl Harbor. Mm-hmm. And after the attacks on Pearl Harbor, the U.S. military determined that Tularosa Basin would be a great place for missile testing. Mm. And starting in World War II, the military closed off areas of White Sands National Park specifically for missile testing. And does this still continue today?
It does.
Yes, it does. Very
much
so.
Got a call to find out.
Okay, so 2021, that is actually not when White Sands became a national park.
Oh.
White Sands became a national park in 2019.
Oh.
But in 2021, the oldest fossilized human footprint was discovered in White Sands National Park. Scientists and archaeologists determined that this footprint was left between 21,000 and 23,000 years ago.
Wow.
And it is the oldest footprint known to exist across the world.
Wow.
And it proves that human existence happened during what they call glacial maximum, which is the time in history of the Earth when there were tons of glaciers on the Earth and the glaciers were at their fullest extent that they've ever been that we know of.
Sure.
And of course, now all those glaciers have melted.
And we're going to die.
So many of those glaciers have melted, and we won't ever be able to get those glaciers back unless we have another ice age, which doesn't seem to be happening anytime soon.
It's a heat age.
Are we ready for the next category?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. For 100, this actor, known for his start in straight drag wrestling, both played the mythical figure Maui in the animated and the upcoming live action version of Moana.
Dwayne the Potential President Rock Johnson?
Why are we saying potential president?
Oh, there's a lot of speculation about whether he's going to run for office.
I don't know why that is. Yep. Why that is. I don't want to know that. Mm-hmm. But yes, he did start in straight drag wrestling. Wrestling is just
drag.
That's drag for straight men.
People.
For 200, Michael Phelps has 23 of these, more than any other Olympian.
What's gold medals?
There you go. Correct. Okay, for 300, to sing the top line of a song is to sing the melody. To sing a different line that goes with the top line is to sing this.
What's the A line?
No. So if I'm not singing melody, I'm singing what?
The chorus.
No. No.
What's the lead?
If I'm not singing the top line or the melody, I'm singing what?
I don't know.
If I'm singing along.
You're yelling at me.
You know this word. I know you know this word. When two
What's
people
the
are singing. Thank you. The harmony. Okay, for 400. Lindsay Lohan famously played the daughter in a remake of Disney's Freaky Friday, a role that was originally played by Jodie Foster. But this was not the only Disney film remake that Lindsay Lohan starred in. She also starred in a film with a new title that centers on a car.
What is Herbie Fully Loaded?
That is correct. And the original title, or the title of the original film was...
Herbie the Love Bug.
Or just the Love Bug, correct. For 500. This Americana band with two members, John Paul White and Joy Williams, formed in 2008 and earned two Grammy Awards with their hit album, Barton Hollow.
What's the White Stripes?
Incorrect. We were looking for What Are the Civil Wars?
Mm.
So...
Because it's Jack White, Meg White.
There it is.
Yeah, there it is.
The answers here for this Jeopardy, or the clues that you figured out, were Rock, Gold, Harmony, Herbie Fully Loaded, and Civil Wars. What park are we talking about?
Death Valley.
That is right. Mm. So why do you think that?
Because it's full of rocks. There were prospecting for gold out there. Herbert Hoover had something to do with it because of Herbie, and the Civil War was going on at some point.
Okay, we'll see if you're right. Okay, so the first one was rock.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the indigenous people of this area are the Timbisha Shoshone. They date back to 1,000 years ago, with some members still living in Death Valley today. This tribe practiced seasonal migration from down in the valley to up in the surrounding mountains, and they would move back and forth. But they were known for painting their faces with red ochre, and their name means rock paint.
Mm.
So paint they would get from the valley that was on the rocks. Okay, so then the next one was gold.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1849, a group of white settlers headed west during the gold rush,
yep,
crossed the area, meaning this valley area, trying to avoid the winter in the Sierra Nevadas. But their accounts reported a really horrible experience, with one member of their group dying.
Mm-hmm.
And in their accounts, one of them wrote the phrase, "Goodbye, Death Valley," and that is how the name stuck.
Mm.
So the writing about this area, that's where they pulled that name from. Then the next one was Harmony.
Harmony.
Do you know where I'm going with this?
Sunday.
Exactly. Sunday in the Park with George. Right around the turn of the century, the last century, mining had a small boom in Death Valley. The company Harmony Borax Works, mm-hmm, as we know, mm-hmm, operated for only 5 years,
mm-hmm,
from 1883 to 1888, and it proved that borax was the only profitable mining endeavor of the area.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you think that Herbie Fully Loaded was one of the clues here?
Because of Herbert Hoover.
And why do you think so?
Because he designated this as a national monument space and then a national park.
No, not then a national park, but he did designate it as a national monument in 1933.
Mm-hmm.
And what other two parks were designated national monuments in 1933?
Did we accidentally do a Herbert Hoover season?
We did a Herbert Hoover season, and we did not even know it.
Gosh, the worst president. I mean, sorry, second worst.
Oh, second. Yeah. Correct.
Along with White Sands and along with Saguaro.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then finally, the Civil Wars. I'm pulling the word civil here,
mm-hmm,
because starting in its national monument designation year, being 1933, the Civilian Conservation Corps began building infrastructure, including some trails and water lines, and they did this until 1942.
Mm.
Okay, and our final round, which by process of elimination we can figure out is which park?
Dry Tortugas. Pinnacles.
There we go. So for 100, this online service went viral a few years ago, where it allows one to send in saliva and find out about your own history and heritage.
What's 23andYou?
Yep, that's that. 23andYou.
Mm-hmm.
For 200. This song appears in Act Two of the musical Into the Woods, where the current surviving characters all collectively sing an accusatory song about blame.
What's your fault?
That's correct. For 300. In the 90s, late at night, you may have seen one of these infomercials for this grow your own plant atop a piece of pottery that sometimes looks like the shape of an animal or a celebrity head.
What is chia?
Yeah, or a chia pet. Mm-hmm. Correct. For 400, in the musical Hamilton, Angelica, Peggy, and Eliza are collectively known as this.
The Schuyler Sisters.
Thank you.
Angelica, Peggy, Eliza. Work.
For 500, this tall character is a staple on Sesame Street, and he has gotten his own movie and is known for his yellow color.
Who is Big Bird?
That's right. Okay, so let's talk about this. 23andMe, how do you think that's related to Pinnacles National Park?
I think that might relate to genome mapping of condors.
Okay, great guess, but no.
Okay.
I'm taking the 23 from that phrase because the pinnacles of this area actually sprouted up because of volcanic activity and shifting of tectonic plates that occurred 23 million years ago.
Because mm-hmm. I would have definitely gotten that.
That's right. an eruption from the Pinnacles Nenok volcanic field caused the shift in the earth that created the pinnacles we see today. Mm. So the next one is fault. What do you think that is about?
Fault.
Fault. Your fault.
Oh, your fault. I was like, what?
I'm pulling the word fault. So what do you think
that's
about?
Because of fault lines.
That's yeah. right. So this volcanic field lies along the San Andreas Fault.
Through subduction.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And the fault is created between the Pacific Plate and the North American Plate of tectonic plate world, right? And the Pacific Plate actually moved the pinnacles we see today 195 miles northwest
wow.
to where they are today. The volcanic eruption that caused the pinnacles happened 195 miles southeast of
Wild.
Where the pinnacles are sitting now. Okay, so the next one was chia. Mm-hmm. What do you think? Or chia pet. I'm pulling the word chia. What do you think that's about?
Cheetah Rivera.
That's right. Mm-hmm. She is a known commodity who performs at Pinnacles National Park.
You drop the tea.
Campground uh-huh. very often, mm-hmm. right? Actually, the indigenous people of this area were the Popolauchum, Shalon, and the Ohlone people. Mm-hmm. And they were known for collecting wildflower seeds, particularly chia seeds. Hmm. And then they would replant them in other areas to ensure robust harvest. So the next one was the Schuyler Sisters. And I'm pulling the word Schuyler. Mm-hmm. So what do you think that's about?
President Reginald Schuyler, who proclaimed this space
who
in National
is fictional.
Park.
Mm-hmm. So in 1892, there was a homesteader, mm-hmm. white man, named Schuyler Hain. He moved there from Michigan and he started giving tours of the caves. And through his advocacy for protecting this area, he wanted to protect it so that it would, one, boost tourism and also the local economy. Mm-hmm. This earned him the nickname the Father of the Pinnacles. But because of his advocacy, Teddy Roosevelt is the one who became aware of Pinnacles mm-hmm. and actually made it a national monument.
That tracks.
Yeah. And he did that long before 1933. And then finally, Big Bird. What do you think this is in connection to?
The elusive California quail.
The mm-hmm. elusive California quail. Mm-hmm. Correct. So Pinnacles is a major spot for the California Condor Recovery Program. And you can hear all about that in our trail mix this season on...
Condors.
Condors. And... condor drama, because there's a lot mm-hmm. of interpersonal drama between condors.
Look Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.